Isaiah chapter 11. There was a teaching that we began during the course of the International Eagles Conference, and I want to continue from where we stopped. The introductory scripture that I used is a scripture that David said, "Thou wilt light my candle, and the Lord will enlighten my darkness." Thou wilt light my candle. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. All right, Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Customarily, when many of us speak on the seven spirits of God, it is customary for us to consult Isaiah chapter 11 as the authority to base that doctrine. But like I said in my previous teaching, this is not a scripture that supports that position. The reason is because if you check the metaphors that were used in verse 1, we have, first of all, we have a rod, that's a metaphor. We have a stem, that's another metaphor. We have the branch, that's another metaphor. We have root, that's another metaphor. Are you there? Who can tell us how many other metaphors pertaining to a tree are missing in that scripture? We have roots, we have stem, we have branch. Then we have, what is missing are leaves and fruit. So what you find in verse 2 are fruit. And I know you don't believe me, so I need to support that with Proverbs chapter 8. Before we go to Proverbs, can we count the number of items that we have in verse number 2? Spirit of the Lord, if you want to count that as one. Spirit of wisdom, 2. Spirit of understanding, 3. Spirit of counsel, 4. Spirit of might, 5. Spirit of knowledge, 6. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So people, many theologians say these are the seven spirits of God. But I need to correct that quickly before we go into the subject matter for the night. Come with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 8, beginning from verse 13. Please come, stay with me for the next 50 minutes. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Verse 14. Are you there? It says, "Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom is mine. I am understanding. I have strength." Do you realize that it is one individual that has all these attributes? You are not following me. Is it counsel is mine? Can you see that these are fruit? Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom is mine. I am understanding and I have strength. All of this is traced to one source. So the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It's talking about the Messiah. These are the dimensions of grace that you will see manifested in his life as fruit of the fact that he has a deposit of his Father on his life. Are you there? When you encounter him, you will find counsel in him. When you encounter him, you will find spiritual knowledge oozing out of him. When you encounter him, you will find understanding oozing out of him. All right? So, if the Spirit of Christ comes upon you, these fruit are going to begin to manifest in your life. So, these items in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, are the fruit that are going to be evidently manifested if the Spirit of the Christ is at work in the life of a believer. Is that clear? So this matter raised in this scripture is different from the seven spirits of God. So let's go into the subject matter of the evening. You know, I told you in the book of Revelation, are you there with me in Revelation 1. Come with me quickly. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning from verse 4, the Bible says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. This is John bringing a salutation from Christ in the heavenlies. And part of the things that he captures in his salutation is that there are seven spirits that are before the throne of the Christ. Are you there? Don't forget that. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Jump to verse number 9. I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Jump again. We need to get the interpretation of these metaphors that were used in Revelation chapter 1 through to verse 12. So the interpretation is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. So he wants to give us insight into the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars and the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, according to this disclosure, this revelation, he said the seven stars are the angel of the seven churches. Now, hold on. Now, if you notice, are you there? You are not following me. If you notice, the church as captured in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, is a church that is in the territorial context. So the church in Nigeria, the church in Ghana, the church in Togo, territorial, right? The church in Philadelphia, the church in Pergamos, the church in Smyrna, the church in Laodicea. These are territorial churches, churches that are held up within territories. So that's the perspective in which the church is viewed. The church is viewed territorially. Now, it's needful for us to understand that. And then he is now saying that the stars and the angels of the seven churches. The word angels in that scripture is angelos, which means messenger. And if the context in which the church is viewed is territorial, it means that the messenger to the territorial church is a physical pastor, not an angelic being. Is that correct? You're not following what I'm talking about. I'm trying to provide context for the spiritual journey that we are about to embark upon. Let me try again. The context in which the church is captured, because the church can be seen from the eternal perspective, from the universal perspective, from the organic perspective, from the territorial perspective. But in this scripture, the church is considered from the territorial perspective, and everything has a territorial shape. So if the Bible says that the stars that Jesus holds in his right hand are the messengers of the churches, and the church is territorial, not eternal, not global, not universal, territorial. So the messenger to the territorial church is a human being, not an angelic being. So the angelos, the messenger to the territorial church, is a human being. So Jesus is saying that the description of a minister, are you with me? According to the metaphors that are captured in this scripture, is a personality that is held up in the right hand of Jesus. And I'm going to explain what that means. He is held up in the right hand of Jesus. That means he is situated in the galaxy of God. In the book of John chapter 3, the Bible gives us an insight into how to discern a man that is operating from the galaxies of God or a man that is operating from the earth. So there are two kinds of men. First kind of men operate from the earth. Second kind of men operate from the galaxies of God. And in the book of John chapter 3, you will see a description of the men that operate from the realm of God and the men that operate from the earth. There is a way to identify them. All right, so in John chapter 3, are you there in John? Just trying to create a layout, don't worry. We'll soon begin to travel. In John chapter 3 verse 31, the Bible says, he that cometh from above is above all. One of the indicators of a man that is transmitting, whose life derives from above, is that he has authority over everything in the natural realm. So if you notice, if you see a man that seems to have authority over things that are natural, are you there? Oh, you are not following. If you find a man that seems to have authority over things that are natural, it's an indication of the fact that he's not operating from the earth. The basis of his authority is not intellectual. The basis of his authority is in the context of God. There is something that that man has done that has made God to entrust authority into his hands. And the authority that he has capacity to regulate things that are in the natural realm, to regulate things that are in the demonic realm, to regulate things around his life. When you find the presence of divine authority on the life of a man, it is suggestive of the fact that he is from above. Are you there? Number two, he that is of the earth is earthly, and how do you know him? And speaketh of the earth. So when you find a man that is operating or transmitting from the earth, the way you know him is by his talking. He speaks on the earthly plane. Are you with me now? All right, the next verse. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Yes, next verse. 32. And what he hath seen, the guy that comes from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified. So someone that is coming from above, he testifies about things that he has seen where? Above. That was what separated Jesus from the doctors of the law in his time. The knowledge that Jesus was given out during his teaching and his sermonizing was not knowledge that was gotten from the earth. It was knowledge that came from above. When you hear him speak, you will know that it was not because he attended a school. The knowledge he was doling out was not coming from the soil of his soul, but it was transmitting from his spirit. And you will know that this is not a product of study. This kind of knowledge is revealed. So he was speaking from a pot of revelation. And that is why he was different from the other scholars that spoke from the earth. He had authority to back up the things that he said. You will notice that when Nicodemus came to meet Jesus in the night, he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You will notice that there was a supernatural dimension to the ministry of Jesus. And there was a backing that came upon the things that he said. And that backing was not found in the ministry of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It was indicative of the fact that his source of revelation, the authority that accompanied his revelation, was not from earth. It was from above. Are you following? So in the metaphor of the stars were held in the hands of Jesus. It means that true ministers of the gospel are functionaries, are emissaries that transmit from the realm of God. If your transmission is earthly, it will not have the authority to back itself up. If you are speaking from the earthly plane, one of the ways we will know is that you have no authority to back what you are saying up. If you are speaking from the intellectual plane, one of the ways we will know is that the way you speak will know that you studied what you are saying before you are saying it. But Jesus spoke the things that he received by revelation. That's the difference. Are you there? Now, and I'm not saying this to despise the place of study. I'm a researcher myself. And it is one of the recommendations in order for us to grow spiritually, to be Berean Christians, to search the scriptures to see whether the things that we hear are in line with the truth. Now, these are days where people want to strip the Bible of its ultimate authority so that they can have unchallenged manifestations unchallenged practices that are extra scriptural. But you see, the devil knows what he wants to achieve, because the reference point of every Christian activity is the scriptures. And if we do not operate according to the scriptures, we are already falling. So I'm not by any means trying to despise researching and studying. But I'm saying that if the Holy Ghost does not help you in that research, what you will have is head knowledge. And what you will have doesn't have the ability to transform the life of anybody. Transformation is something that can only be achieved by the Spirit of God. And that is how we know if you are transmitting from the realm of God or not. So the description of a minister of the gospel according to the array of metaphors that are captured in the book of Revelation chapter 1 is someone that is a star. A star is a luminary, a shining one, but he's shining from the realm of God because Jesus upholds him in his right hand. Is that correct? So that's the description of a minister. When we say Jesus upholds him in his right hand, it means Jesus is the source of the grace that supports his shining. The Bible calls John the Baptist a burning and a shining light. The reason why he is shining is because God is the source of his shining. It is that kind of light that he shines, that shines into darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness has been running research to attempt to understand light, but it has failed till this moment. So God's antidote to darkness remains light. Now, this divine light, for instance, comes only from the realm of God. And if someone is transmitting divine light that darkness cannot understand, it is an indication of the fact that he is transmitting from the realm of God. So if we see divine authority, are you there? If we see divine revelation, if we see that the things that people say are backed up by God, it is suggestive of the fact that this man has gotten all that he's dispensing from God. He's from above. Is that clear now? Alright, so the first metaphor that was described in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, where the unveiling took place, is the revelation of the stars, the angels or the messengers of the churches, and the proof that they are transmitting from heaven or held up by Jesus in his right hand is that they have enough grace to bear witness to Christ. Okay? Then number two, he says that the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So Jesus was in the midst, navigating in the midst of the seven churches. Now, if you want to see Jesus, there is a place in which his reality is trapped. His reality on earth is trapped in the church. Just in case you intend to touch his reality, he is trapped in the church. Nowhere else. You will find Jesus nowhere else except in his church. That's where he navigates. That's where he operates. So whether or not... Are you still following me? You are not following me. Now, there are a lot of permutations in this scripture. I need to take you carefully to get all the permutations before we begin to travel. The first thing is that the churches we are considering here are territorial. Did you get that? Now, if the metaphor that symbolizes church in the book of Revelation chapter 1 is the lampstand, unfortunately, we no longer have street lights in our city. There was a time we had street lights, but unfortunately, we no longer have street lights. But imagine, those of you that still remember how it looked like when we had street lights in the city. Those were lampstands. You know, one of those days, I don't know what happened. Was it a night prayer we held? and we were dispersed around 4 o'clock, and I was driving, and the street lights were shining so bright, and you don't even need headlights. I forgot that my headlights were off because we had street lights on the road. Now, the church is supposed to be that lampstand that is fastened in the territory that is bearing the witness of Christ. So the light we bear, the fire we carry, is supposed to bear witness to the fact that the reason why we are the way we are is because of Christ. Your life is supposed to be an evidence of the fact that Christ is everything he says he is. And God is committed, are you with me? God is committed to ensuring that we have proof to present to justify the person, the claims of the person of Christ. For instance, the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You see, he said, are you there? One of the reasons why he wants to invest power on your life is because he needs witnesses unto him, not witnesses for him. You're not here. Because many of us interpret that scripture to mean that we need power so that we can do evangelism, witness for him. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says witnesses unto him. That means Jesus is in the dock, is in court. Our generation no longer believes the things that he says he is. They no longer believe he's a savior. They no longer believe he's a healer. They no longer believe he's a restorer. They no longer believe his claims of the things that he has done and the things that he can do. So, one of the reasons why God is going to release power on your life is so that you can become a witness to him in the court. Your life will become an evidence that is providing proof that Jesus is exactly who he claims he is. God is committed to ensuring that our generation acknowledges Jesus as Savior, as healer, as everything. And your life is supposed to be the evidence by which God can make that statement. There are proofs that are not natural, proofs that are supernatural, that will be manifested through your life, that will be a witness to the Christ. Is that clear? I say, is that clear? Oh my God. So imagine that the church within the territory of Makurdi is like a huge street light. And the light that is coming out of that lamp is the light that bears witness to Christ. So the only hope that a generation has to meet with Christ is that the church is established in its ministry of bearing the witness of Christ in the territory. That's the only way people can factor Jesus to be who he claims he is and surrender their lives to him so that he can manage under his government. Is that clear? If you notice that in a territory, people don't regard Christ at all, it is suggestive of the fact that the church in that territory is no longer bearing the witness of Christ. You get that? There is something missing. And if you go through all the churches in Asia that are captured in the book of Revelation, you will find ailments that each congregation has. Are you with me? Oh, you're not here. For instance, the church in Ephesus had lost her first love. The basis of our motivation to continue pressing into the kingdom and to be willing to sacrifice so that the kingdom of God can advance is that we are rooted in the love of God. The love of God is the motivation that we have to keep sacrificing and pressing to see the kingdom of God extended in our generation. At any point in time where there's a problem with our love life, there's going to be a problem with our life of sacrifice, and we'll become mechanical. And in our mechanical mode, we'll lack what it takes to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God. And so, your love for God is a critical matter. Are you there? And you don't have the ability to love God by yourself. Because the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. There is someone whose duty is to fan the love of God aflame in your life and in my life. And as long as the Holy Spirit is not in the place to do His ministry in your life, you discover that your love life is going to go down and you will become mechanical. The things you used to rejoice to do before, you begin to analyze them if it was necessary. If you can still keep up. The reason for the analysis is a decline in a vital spiritual reality, which is love. And that's the reason for mechanical Christianity. It has not yet occurred to us that the church of Jesus Christ in our generation is suffering from the same ailment that the Ephesian church was suffering from. There's so much of mechanical activity, and it's so mechanical. It's no longer driven by a heart that is willing to sacrifice. And that means that there is a problem with the love quotient. Are you still with me? So if you journey from one church to another, and you take inventory of their stature, their context, their reality, you will see the Spirit of Jesus pointing out what was wrong with each congregation. Do you know why all those ailments were finding expression? The reason is because if you notice, Jesus was in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, and the candlesticks are not candlesticks if they don't have fire. So all of those churches lacked fire. Are you there? So the purpose for which they were situated in the territory was not being carried out because they did not have what it takes to bear witness. The fire was absent. There were candlesticks nonetheless, but there was no fire present bringing the witness of Christ to the territory. Now, I went to a certain country to preach the gospel, and I saw that there were so many churches scattered everywhere. But the darkness, in fact, demons visited us that night in that same location where there were so many churches. Demons were the ruling powers of the territory. So the banners and the buildings and the signboards and the billboards and the advertisement that the churches were making were just a charade. There was no true witness there. Demons were in charge of the space. And when they saw that there was a likelihood that we can come into the terrain and distort the delicate balance that established them supreme, they paid us a visit in the night because they were the element of reality in that territory. And so it doesn't matter how many churches are planted in a particular, local churches are planted in a particular place. The point is, the churches will be of none effect if there is no fire. So in the book of Revelation, we see churches that have lost their first love. Churches that were called the synagogue of Satan. The word synagogue means congregation. A local church like this called congregation of Satan. Another church was called the dead church. Now, you must understand what's taking place here. How many of you have worked in an establishment before, just like I worked in public service? There's something we call an internal memo, internal memorandum. Huh? Those are official letters that are transmitted from table to table, from office to office within the establishment. Those letters don't have any meaning outside of the establishment. So they are called
an eternal memorandum. Now, so what we have in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, when Jesus Christ is addressing the churches through the spirit of revelation, it's an eternal memorandum. The CEO of the church is writing to each branch and giving them admonition. Now, if we go into deep studies, you will find this memo that Jesus is sending out to each congregation. It's an analysis of the congregation, and you will see the dimension of the flesh that have taken hold, which is obstructing the light of God. In some places, are you there? It's immorality. In some other places, it's idolatry. They never knew that the object of their worship was no longer Jesus. So much so that Jesus said, I stand at the door of the church. Jesus was cast out. Oh, you are not following one. You are not with me. You think, I don't have time. Jesus. I will not be tempted. I started a study. The Lord will need to help me before I can teach that. What I found out in the scripture. So he calls some congregations synagogue of Satan. Calls some other congregations dead church. It's told someone. This is the memo. Are you following? The internal memorandum. He said, you guys are the congregation of Satan. He said, you guys have lost your first love. He said, you allow that woman that calls herself a prophet. It means she doesn't have any prophetic endorsement from me. She calls his self-imposed, self-acknowledged prophet to teach. So there were entities that had captured the platform and they were teaching the doctrines of devils. This Jesus, it was sending memos to the churches. Oh my, you are not following what I'm talking about here. That they you see, when you read those things, in fact, Jesus spoke about in one of the churches. He said, in your city, Satan is dwelling in your city. Huh? Okay. You are not following me. I'm trying to show you some parables. I'm not going to teach it here. Not here. How a church can become a synagogue of Satan. What are the signs that point to the fact that this place has been captured? It was captured. So there were a lot of symptoms and signs that Christ was pointing to concerning all of these congregations, and that is not my emphasis now. However, the reason why darkness was able to invade was because the churches that are symbolized by the lampstands lacked fire. Are you there? And where we read in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, you saw that there were seven lampstands, seven lamps that were before the throne of the Christ. And these seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. These are the seven lamps that are supposed to enlighten the seven lampstands. It means that the body of Christ, the church of Jesus, is supposed to receive illumination from these spirits. When you receive... let me cut it. I'll jump. I need to show you Revelation chapter 1 verse 4. Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. Can we start? 1 verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So, we see that the seven spirits are before his throne. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Now, has it ever occurred to you that a congregation can be dead, a church can be dead? And it is not a human being saying the church is dead. It's an internal memo sent by the CEO. The CEO evaluated that assembly and called it dead. The prescription, are you there? Oh my God. The prescription that the CEO gave to the dead church as a means of survival, a means of revival, is the seven spirits of God. That's the prescription that the CEO gave the dead church. That what you need desperately is the seven spirits of God. And this scripture now reveals to us who is in custody, who is the owner of these seven spirits. He said, this thing said he that has the seven spirits of God. So the seven spirits of God are in the custody of Jesus. And the seven spirits of God are the prescription that Jesus gave to the dead church. I'm still speaking in parables. It's not in this class that I will go deeper, because it will produce persecution, this message. The real one. So that's why I'm jumping. When the Lord gives me liberty to go there, it means that my heart too is ready for the persecution that will come. But that is not the emphasis for now. Are you there now? So it is Jesus that has the seven spirits of God. And the seven spirits of God are located before his throne. Do you get that? Okay. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. Can you help me? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are... So it's going closer. You see, the way the seven spirits appear before the throne, they appear as burning lamps. We have not finished. We're just trying to pick resources for our journey. It's a very long journey. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So this is the fire that the lamps that the churches are lacking. So this fire burning before the throne of Jesus, we need to come and ignite the churches. If the fire does not ignite the churches, you will see all the ailments that the CEO is discovering about each congregation. The ailments are existing because they lack the fire. Whenever you see a congregation that lacks fire, one thing is constant: witches are part of the congregation. Witches. And I speak as a missionary. I speak as a man that God has graciously called into the office of the apostle and has equipped him with grace that empowers me to do traveling ministry. I have seen a little of the world. Hallelujah. Seen a big congregation of people that do not have the color of my skin. They are different from me. And we went there to minister. And witches. The witches did not know that they would come into collision with something strange. In fact, I know they won't invite me again. Because they like the way I teach and preach. They like the way I talk and the revelation. They did not check to the end of the message to see what happens after I finish teaching. And when they found that I was coming to their country, they sent us an invitation. Hey, pass by here. And we felt it was an open door. And when we went there, you see, that kind of situation will find expression the moment there is no fire in the place. Witches will find it a very comfortable abode. Many of the covens in the realm will post people there for youth service. All kinds of things will begin to take place. Darkness will begin to form a hedge in the territory. Everything will dry up and die. Every strand of life will be snuffed out. Until the woman that calls herself a prophetess will mount the pole. I remember a story that my pastor told me in the village. He said his own pastor, who is someone I know, one of the most powerful missionaries that was sent to our land. This is a man that can be doing dry fasting and preaching every day. And on the 14th day of dry fasting, they brought someone that had polio. Polio. One guy that was suffering from polio, and one of his legs had shrinked. In the midst of the prayer that the man was leading, because he preaches and leads prayer on dry fasting, he came down from the pulpit, went to where the guy that had polio was, held his right hand, and as he raised him up, the leg stretched out. So that man was a weapon from the kingdom of light. In fact, the guy destroyed witchcraft things until the witches went and called the police, and the police arrested him. Police arrested the evangelist, kept him in the inner prison. His church came and formed a circle around the police station and prayed in tongues until 5 a.m. The police had to, without a report, they had to release. He was the man. And you know, those of you that know my state, unfortunately for us, Satan, he has a throne there. And may the Lord give you understanding. I don't know of all the places Satan found a location where he pitched his name in that territory. So for you to come with a force that can displace him, you must be transmitting from above. And you will meet diverse circumstances and situations. Oh my God. So, he was a rugged man. And he began to break grounds. As at the time of this documentary, they had planted, he had 32 pastors under him. That's the first time that ever happened in that territory. The first time. And so he was a big pastor at the time. This was a man that prayed for a mad girl, and she came back to her senses. And when they took the girl home, the parents of the girl came and gave the girl to him as a gift, that this is our offering to your ministry, is this girl that you have killed. In the same church, he invited a prophetess. While the prophetess was ministering, the madness came back on the girl that was killed. And she was never cured again till she died. It was after the administration of that prophetess that ministry closed down. About 20-something years later, I now met that pastor somewhere in Benue State. And I saw all the things my pastor told me about him. How to recognize him. This is how he was. I saw him somewhere. But you see, the fire they said he had, I did not see it. Now, so Satan can become very active where there's no fire. And that's why I'm doing this investigation. It said the seven spirits of God are before his throne. It said the seven spirits of God belong to the one that has them. It belongs to Jesus. Are you there? He said the seven spirits of God are burning lamps of fire before the throne. Are you there? Okay. Let me go on. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Are you there in Revelation 5, 6? And
I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Seven horns. Horns represent authority. Eyes represent visibility. So let's connect all these revelations together. He said that the seven spirits of God are burning lamps. That's how they look. And those burning lamps generate seeing eyes. Now, how many of you can see in darkness when there's pitch darkness? So there are things in God that you will not be able to see until there is these lamps are active. There are dimensions of God you cannot see. You cannot enter into until these lamps are active. So when you find the church of Jesus performing below expectation, the ailment of the body of Christ is traceable to the absence of these dimensions of illumination. Because one of the things that illumination achieves is that it gives you the ability to explore your sight. Your sight becomes effective when there is light. Is that clear? So there are dimensions of God that are going to be mysterious to you until these burning lamps become operational. It's also needful for us to understand before we start the journey that these spirits were not needed in heaven. They were sent forth into all the earth. The reason for which they were sent forth into all the earth is so that the church can receive the fire that will be responsible for dimensions of illumination. The intensity of visibility, the intensity of light, will be occasioned by how many of these lamps we have received. You are not following me. Now, the Bible calls the church the seven lampstands. If only one of the lamps has fire, do you think that there's a problem with the intensity? If we have two lamps, we'll have higher intensity. If we have three lamps, we'll have higher intensity. If we have four lamps, we'll have... Can you see that the number of lamps that are lit will determine the level of intensity that we have, and that is going to affect the eyes, the things that we see in God. When you find people that can no longer see things in God, meanwhile, it will interest you to know the description or the definition of an overcomer according to the CEO of the church. The CEO said, are you with me? The CEO says, he that has an ear, that's the description of the overcomer. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I would have expected the CEO to say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying about his life. There is a level of visibility with which you can see things about your life. There's another level of visibility with which you can see things about the churches. Are you there? But the description of an overcomer is not a man that can see something about his life through the Spirit. It's someone that can see things about what God is saying to the church. That is the definition of an overcomer. The blindness that the kingdom of darkness wants to bring on the church of Jesus has not affected that guy because his lamps are burning. If all you see are the things that God is saying about your life, there is still some blindness in your space. And that was why we said, thou will light my candle, the Lord will enlighten my darkness.
It is because of those lamps. So we need to go into Bible study. The object of this conference this weekend is to show you those seven lamps, what they are, and how they operate. Because if we say that the lamps will bring illumination, are you there? We need to show you the things that the lamp will make you see. Because the lamps, the seven spirits of God are the lamps and the eyes. There is something that illumination will equip you to see in God so that you can carry that dimension of God. And in carrying that dimension of God, you are providing witness unto Jesus in your generation. So that when people see you, they will know that Jesus is alive. Is that clear? Stay with me. All right. You know, I showed you two during the course of the conference. Do you still remember it? I know you don't, but I will not go there again. You go back and study that. So we saw the spirit of adoption, and we saw the spirit of grace and supplication. I will still talk about them as the last, just remind you about them. But we need to go into fresh territory. Turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning from verse 26 to verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 26 to verse 29. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorrower punishment? Stay there. Are you there? You are not following. Now, this scripture is talking about someone that decides to indulge in sin deliberately. He calls it willfully. That means he's awake and aware. He knows what he's doing. You know, Jesus prayed a prayer while he was on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's ignorance. And the Bible says that the days of ignorance, God is likely to overlook. But God will not overlook something that is willful. So the Bible says that if we decide, therefore, to sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no other answer to sin other than that which Jesus has accomplished on the cross. Meanwhile, for your information, anyone under the Old Testament that despises the law of Moses is stoned to death by the strength of the witness of two or three. Are you there? And the consequence of living in willful sin in the New Testament is more grievous than the consequence of living in willful sin in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you are stoned to death. That is the consequence. And then somebody will ask me in this congregation, is there anything that is more grievous than death? You are about to find out. It says, how much sorrow punishment? Because the Bible calls it sorrow. That means it is higher than the situation in the day of Moses. Suppose ye that he be thought worthy, and then he mentioned is the count charges, the three count charge, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. The first offense that person has committed is that he is trampling on Jesus. So he's asking you to think, what kind of punishment do you think is worthy of a man that tramples on Jesus? That's the first count charge. Second count charge, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith it was sanctified an unholy thing. You see, second count charge is that this guy has reckoned that the blood of the covenant by which we were purchased, our bright price, that were purchased from the state of damnation to a state of justification. That person that is living in willful sin as considered the blood of the covenant and unholy thing. That's second count charge. You are not following. Because the Bible is asking us for us to think of the kind of punishment that is worthy of this person that is guilty of these crimes. Set third count charge, he says, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So the Spirit of grace is the third Spirit of God. The Spirit of grace. Now, when the Bible says that this guy has done despite, are you with me? Oh my God. I say, are you with me? He has done despite. He has despised the Spirit of grace. The reason why he's living in perpetual immorality willfully is because he despises the Spirit of grace. The reason for which the Spirit of grace was made available is to empower us to live above sin. So when you find a believer that is deep in sin, it is not because the solution for sin was not made available. The reason for which God made grace available is so that we will live above sin. The antidote for sin is the grace of God. In the book of Romans, are you still with me? So the Spirit of grace is the investment that God makes available in order to undo the dominion of sin in the life of a believer. So just in case someone is living in sin and is a believer, the person is blind to the Spirit of grace. He has not received the impartation of the Spirit of grace. He has not seen the possibility. He has not seen the potential. He has not seen the purpose for which God made grace available. And he decided not to see it willingly. Not because it is not littered everywhere around his life. The Spirit of grace is designed by God to take us beyond the scope of our infirmities, the scope of our weaknesses, and to give us the capacity to walk in victory over the same things that will bedevil the fallen man. Are you with me? I and Philip were on a mission to Zimbabwe, and we used Ethiopia Airways. Are you there now? And if you take Ethiopia Airways from Abuja, they will take you to Addis Ababa. You spend the night and then you continue your journey. So when we got to Addis Ababa, if you're on business class, there is a certain restaurant that they will make available for you to have your meals. Are you there? We now saw a Nigerian evangelist with a babe. A big babe. May the Lord help us in the name of it. And because of the way we were dressed, he didn't know. He didn't recognize us. He was loving a babe. Sin has the ability to deceive. Sin will normally come with its products and advertise and show you the capacity, the pleasure that are attached to its products. If you accept the doctrine of deception that sin brings, it is because your eyes were closed to the capacity and the victory that is attached to the Spirit of grace. You know, I told you that grace is not a picture of Samson and Delilah. The picture of grace is Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Because that, I want to believe that Potiphar's wife has, they've had some servants before Joseph came. And because of her beauty, none of them could resist the offer. For the first time in her life, she saw a young man that was not willing to take what she was offering. Are you following her? It was grace. A man that has found the spirit of grace can walk unseen like this. And he will not be contaminated. Because he has an enablement from God that swallows up his infirmity. Oh, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible that I will never stop quoting is the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. There's an activity of the Spirit of God that swallows up our weakness. When you allow God to come into your space, the Bible says that it is God that walks in us. That means God does not go to sleep. He's always in the workshop. And part of the things he's doing in the workshop is that he's changing our taste buds. He knows that you had so many liabilities before you gave your life to Christ. You had sampled so many women before you said yes to Jesus. And the appetite for fair women is still very big. So when you come under the government of the Holy Spirit, part of what it begins to do in you is that it begins to change your taste buds. Begins to change the things you desire. The context of your desire is altered because grace is at work on your inside. The things that you used to like, I don't know about you, but I love soccer, football. Jesus, I must watch it. When grace, it became an idol, something that could take the place of God totally in my life. And when God saw it, he began to engineer something inside. And he began to change the taste bud. Until, I didn't even know when I came to the point where football no longer interested me. It was a work of God that was inside that ate up the desire for football in my life so that his place would not be taken by football. You understand that? So God begins to give you fresh desires, begins to give you fresh visions, begins to give you fresh insights, fresh convictions, and your life begins to move from that place where you were a slave of sin to a place where you no longer desire it. What I speak about takes a process of time, and if you can allow the Holy Spirit, that's the kind of man he will make you. So in the same place that there was an evangelist that was falling on a very big lady, we were still there. We were there too. We were not looking for a lady because we had found something that he had not found. The thing is not lost. Are you there? It's not lost. I remember when I was being posted as a staff of the government to come work at this depot. And in this depot, if you are equipped with a government stamp, you are a big man. People will come to your office and they will come and bribe you so that you will stamp their document. The idea is that those days before the subsidy was taken away, the idea is that when they bring the product, they have to bring it to this depot. All the filling stations that are 450 or less kilometers from this depot must bring product to this depot so that we can confirm that they brought the product. The depot from whence the product was loaded is dispatch depot. We are receiving to show that the thing that was dispatched, we received it in the zone that it was supposed to be dispensed. Are you there? Now, so what they will do is that they will sell the product in Lagos and bring the paper, the document. The only thing that confirms that it has been dispatched is the stamp. Do you understand? Because you were not there now. So if the stamp is on it, it means it was dispatched. And the reason why the cost for fuel or petroleum products was lower than the market price was because we were paying subsidy. Are you there now? And part of the subsidy included the fact that government pays for the transport of the product. And that's why there was equalization. What you have in Lagos, the price you have in Lagos, is the price you have in this town. Are you there? The reason why equalization was possible because government was taking over the cost of transport. So when you stamp that document, the guy can take that paper to Abuja and claim his transport cost. That means he brought it. I was about to get married to my wife in Ileife when I received a call that they are sending our stamp. Do you know the meaning of that? You don't know the meaning. I was doing very well without the stamp. Now that they are sending the stamp, it means that you must have love God more than the money. Okay, imagine. If we have 100 trucks, one stamp was how many? One stamp was... Where is Gabe? So one stamp was 5,000. So if you have 100... That's how much? That's 500,000. And you make that in a month. Because somebody can just bring 10 and say, okay, make una help us. Make una help us. In fact, somebody can even be in Lagos and be buying those documents. Just his own business is that he's buying the documents. So he can come with 200. So I was about to get married. I was in Ileife to get married that weekend. When they told us that, they called and said, your stamps will soon arrive at your... Instantly, I went on dry fasting. You know why? Oh, you are laughing at me. You know what I told God during the prayer? If I have this stamp, I will eat money. So the reason why I'm praying now is, take the desire. You are not following what I'm talking about. The desire for that money, take it away now. So that when I go there and handle the stamp, I can tell them that I am not signed. And if you say you are not going to sign, you must have God. If not, you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh my God. You know, let me leave you there. Let me leave you there. You must have God if you try that. I did 3 days of drive. People didn't know. They thought it was because of my marital life that I was fasting. They didn't know it was because of stamp. On the third day of the fast, God now told me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's how I came back from my wedding and I never stamped. Gabe is my witness. Because Gabe was working with me. I never stamped a document that I did not see the truck. Never. Because I had received the spirit of what? Of grace. When you hear that, oh, Nigerians are corrupt, it's not all of us. Some of us have received the spirit of grace. And those my colleagues, and there were many of them, those my colleagues that knew me at when I used to work there, whether they are Christians or not, they know that I'm a man of God. Yes. They know it. Because when you manifest in the spirit of grace, unbelievers will know that no human being... You know, the purpose of the lampstand is that it bears the witness of Christ in eternity. I met some of my people in the bank. I said, man of God, see us. We are here. I have even forgotten them. I don't even know them. But you see, they all saw me. That man that refused to be corrupt. In fact, they sent somebody to me and said, do you know when this corruption started? They asked me, how old are you? The corruption started 1 year before you were born. How do you think you can stop it? They even took me and said, the first truck that loaded product on this island, they showed me that you are... My stamp never came on any lie. If you are not ready to die, don't do that. Never came on. I stand today free. The demons of the land know me. They know my voice. I don't have any of their products because I found the spirit of grace. Oh, I remember on campus, my roommates were cultists and they were notorious. Because of that, there was no key on the door. You can't steal them. They will trace you. So there was no key on our door, and no thief ever visited the place. All our things were intact. Two of them were the most notorious people on that campus. So they said, how will we be locking door? What if me, I lose my key? Then I'll be looking for you. But let's leave the door open so that everybody can come. We had a meeting. That was that was what we resolved in the meeting. That anyone that stays here, them we go and trace it. The person is gone. And I discovered that no thief came. Are you following? So you can come to the room and you find them having sex. Just take your book and go. That's the way. That's life, you know. Just go. Take your book. What do you want? Lab coat. Take your lab coat. They will greet you. He said. Then you go. So that was how that room was operating. I came back from the lab one day. So one of those ladies came to look for. I said, the guy is not here. All right. He said, it's not him I'm looking for. It's you. You. Before I knew it, she was naked. So I said, I was confused. I didn't know. I ran away. It was when I was on the last floor that I knew that, hey, I'm already on the... I didn't know how I went. I was on the... It was the spirit of grace. Sometimes when I think of it, traveling around the world preaching the gospel, I've seen that sin has gone deep in the church. If a meeting of pastors, then one pastor that is my spiritual daughter was the one to preach that day. It's a fellowship of pastors. So once a month, pastors in that city, they gather. It's not Nigeria, so don't think. So she now came to the pulpit and said, no more fornication. That meeting didn't end well. There was chaos. The meeting did not end well. There was a reaction. What was the topic? No more. Not among Christians. Among what? So when the unbelievers begin to look at us, they fornicate and we fornicate. Pastors fornicate. Nothing is shining. We are the same. So you cannot say you are coming to preach to them because you don't have the moral justification to do so. Somebody came here to submit to us here and he saw our standard of holiness. He didn't bother to see me again. Just left. I was preaching about fornication that day. So the pastor, there was no need for the pastor to see me again. He just left. That if this is what I'm coming to join, this is not my style. He took off. So in his city, the pharmacy where he buys condom from, they reported to me from there that this guy, this is where he buys condom. I said, God. You see, I know so many people in Nigeria. This Nigeria, I know people. Before nightfall, the news would have reached my phone. This guy, this way. The problem now is that the guy has impregnated two women. So, I don't know how that thing will be solved. But I thank God I'm not the one to solve it. You have impregnated. There is something called the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. It gives you victory over the weaknesses that bedevil fallen man. You are going to receive that spirit tonight. Especially if we are ministers of the gospel, we need a double dose. If you don't have the gift of discernment of spirit, oh. Oh, a lot of people are afraid of you because of their anointing. You have not met the people that I'm talking about. Those ones are not afraid of you. But those ones will come because there is anointing. The ones I'm talking about have money. If they know that your weakness is money, they'll just bring new notes and give you. They won't say anything. They'll give you again, second time. If you receive the third time, you are falling. They know that you are gone. How it will happen, you yourself will wonder. What we are talking about here is that grace, that spirit that gives you victory over the weaknesses of the fallen man. Weaknesses. And in the midst of sin, you have victory. I noticed a time came on Facebook, that Facebook became a ground for pornography. You just be, even you did not, you don't even know how that channel came on, because you did not ask for it, but it will follow you. If your next reaction is not to say, show me no more. You know, Facebook, they haven't tried. There's a column where you can tell the thing. This type, I don't like this type. This one, I don't like. The reason why you have the power to click no is because that spirit is still there. The day you become weak and your hand is doing like this, just know that you need to admit yourself in the intensive care unit of the grace of God. Holiness must be restored to the house of God if we are going to have the capacity to bring the witness of Christ to the dying world. We have a responsibility to live right. Are you still with me? I will stop my lecture here so that we can pray for a while. Someone came into the apostolic church and lied about a piece of land and he died. Because the place was saturated with the spirit of holiness. And everything that did not recognize that awesome holiness of God suffered loss. That's where God is taking us. That's where God is taking us. That's where Jehovah is taking us. Why not pray? I want to pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria. Hallelujah. Oh, you are not even answering. A pastor called me and said, come, this holiness you appreciate, this fornication thing, every time. What is it? What is the problem? That in my city, 8 out of 10 pastors have side chicks. So what is this thing you are preaching?
A pastor.
But you see, the what is even more surprising is the revelation that came through the pastor. He said 8 out of 10 pastors have a small girl by the side. When I was still in public service, our manager called us, those of us that were, he felt were morally right. Huh? He said, you can't continue like this. That's, he's preaching to us now. You can't continue like this in this career. I'm seeing that you are trying. What you need is get a small, one small girl by the side. That was the manager's counsel that you look for. Not big one, a small one. Can we pray? Can we pray? Can we pray for the church in this nation? That the spirit of grace will awake again. Let there be a revival of the spirit of grace. So that that victory that the early church enjoyed over sin, we will see the same in our time. That victory, that there was a dimension of victory that the early church experienced over sin. Many pastors have formulated doctrines to support sin, to trivialize sin, to commonize sin. But no. The Bible says, Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answered the question, God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Can someone cry that there will be a revival of the spirit of grace in the house of God? There will be a revival among ministers. There will be a revival of the spirit of grace. A revival of the spirit of grace. I cannot hear your cry. Sin has depleted our power as a people. We no longer have authority against the enemy at the gates. But tonight, we want to say, Lord, let there be a revival of the spirit of grace in your house in Nigeria. Make us perfect. Make us perfect. Even as you are perfect. I must say, Tori Ababalan Tori Gasate. E Alebabori Amasiko Branta Babori Bakari Amasandori. Make us perfect in the name of Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 2 is on the screen. Okay, let's start from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Then what did Paul say? God forbid. So we want to say God forbid in our prayer. God forbid. That's not my destiny. That's not my story. That's not my testimony. It will never be said about me that I continued in sin because I was hoping that grace might abound. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Revival come, come, come. Revival come. Oh, Spirit rain. Spirit rain. Spirit rain. Revival come. Revival come, come, come. Revival come. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. This will not be my story. This will not be my testimony. God forbid. If you are in this place and you sense a call into ministry, hallelujah. If you sense a call into ministry, the first thing you need to kill is the appetite for sin. And the antidote for that is grace. It will happen naturally. When you encounter what I'm talking about, and you used to be a smoker, if you perceive that odor, it will be irritating. The spirit of grace has gone to work. Oh, you used to engage all kinds of ladies. Your system will revolt against it. Can we ask God, do a work in me that will destroy the appetite for sin? Do it. Somebody needs to cry. Somebody. Do a work that will destroy the appetite for sin in my life. Oh God. 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 Oh God.
A walk that will quench. That will quench that appetite. So that I might become a vessel of honor. Listen, I want to talk to the men of God in this place. Because of the mercy of God, I have been around the world a little. And you know what? The world is looking for a man of God. I tell you. A genuine man of God. Oh my God. You can't handle it. You can't handle the demand. You can't handle the demand. You cannot handle the demand. It is in your interest to labor. To labor and to ask God to help you. We finished a meeting in Cardiff with Pastor Mike and we were to drive out. A woman that felt we did not give her the opportunity for counseling came and stood in front of the car and said, "You are not going. Where are you?" I've never seen that before. We thought she was joking. Even in Nigeria, I've not seen that before. Can you? He said, if a man shall purge himself of this. The demand for a genuine man of God in our time is unthinkable. Male or female alike, it's unthinkable. Part of the reason why we need to emphasize the spirit of grace in view of a life of holiness. It's because the Lord told me that he wants to clothe people with great, with strange grace, but the mantle will not rest. Strange. 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 You will see. You will see, if our prayer is genuine, you will see things that will begin to drop. Don't play with your garment. 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 Somebody's life will depend on your life of purity. Somebody's destiny will depend on your life of purity. The resources to make us live pure is already available. Can we ask God? Cause that my garment will be white continually. He will see the sincerity of our hearts tonight. Things are hanging, and God cannot pass us into the realm where he can commit heavy things into our lives because of our appetite for sin. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If you are here tonight and you have not yet said yes to Jesus, and as I kept teaching, you felt conviction in your heart, to let go the part of rebellion and to align with Jesus. And you are saying, preacher, I want to hand over my life to Christ. If that's what you're saying, your right hand up. I want to hand over my life to Christ completely. I'm tired of the life of sin. Right hand up. Don't allow your neighbor to make you ashamed of Jesus. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this broken world, I will be ashamed of you in the kingdom of my Father. Anyone whose hand is lifted up, leave your seat and come to the front of the altar here. He calls you. If your hand is... No, don't clap. It's a solemn moment. Your hand is lifted up and you are not ashamed of him. Come to the front of the altar. Shine on me. Your grace, he shines on me. Shines on me. Shines on me. Is your grace. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of him. Shines on me. To give you white garments. White garments. The day of the reign of sin must come to an end. Lord, look upon your people. There are still some people in the congregation. The Lord is still knocking at the door of your heart. Don't allow Satan to win the argument over your soul. Rebel against the devil. Come on. Forget about your neighbor, person sitting by your side. Maybe you came here with your girlfriend. You can break the relationship now and embrace Jesus. You can break it now and accept Jesus. Accept Jesus. Accept Jesus. So if you're out here, say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I accept I am a sinner. I cannot help myself. Have mercy on me. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken. I receive grace to live for you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Where is Pastor Tony? All right, so please look that way. You'll find Pastor Mike and Pastor Mike. Go with them. Can you wave? Just go with those pastors. They will talk to you for 10 minutes, then you come join the miracle service. If you want to clap, this is the time to clap. Shine on me. So now I can share my visions with you. First vision. God began to open my understanding of the fact that in this season he wants to return to the church in Nigeria. And the first sign of his return is that he will do something in our government. I don't know, but he will do something. I don't know what he will do. I don't know what he will do, but he will do something in our government. And when I see that sign, I should know that he's returning to the church in Nigeria. Number two, his hands are open to restore believers and ministers that are repenting genuinely. Number three, some of the deposits, spiritual deposits that have been used to move the church forward in Nigeria, spiritual deposits upon our ancestors, those deposits in different measures and in different colors will begin to come back. Now listen, I'm not saying on everybody, on consecrated ministers. There are shades and colors of these deposits that will begin to come back. A cycle of restoration will begin. And when you find the kind of authority or the dimension of grace operating on the elect, you will know that God has begun to restore the spiritual deposits that were responsible for the advancement of the kingdom of God previously. It is because of this. Can anybody confirm what these things I'm talking about? You. Because you see, prophecy is not exclusive to preachers, you know, or one person. If it's from God, other people, sister, come, you. Pastor Tony, you are our pastor. So, what did you receive? I want you to take this moment seriously.
Praise God. I was in my sleep, Papa, and I saw you in my sleep. Okay. And then you said, look up. And then I looked. There were lots of hankies on top. They were hanging. And then you said, look closely at these hankies. And then I looked closely. And then you said, these are not hankies, these are mantles. And then you said, look closely. And then I looked closely. And you said, what can you see? And I could see blood stain on all of the mantles. Just few of them are white hankies. And then you said to me, there are so many stained mantles in Nigeria. And the Lord wants to restore those mantles.
Oh, so wait. You are right. Wait. I just want to explain. I have liberty. I didn't know you would start from there. Meanwhile, I don't know how. Before you say that, I called her to the office and told her that she should come and say something. I don't know this lady. I don't know her. I just thought that she raised her hand to confirm what I was saying. And I called her out. Are you there? Trust me. I don't deceive people. Many mantles in Nigeria are stained. They are genuine, but stained. In their current stained level, they will bring injury to people. And that's why there's blood. Few ministers will hear the call unto holiness in this season and repent, and the Lord will restore them. There are other graphic pictures that I cannot say in public. If I have a release, we will hold a meeting that will not be streamed. Let me talk. That is if I have. But these days, people even bring phone that can. So how can we even talk? We can't talk. Blood-stained mantles, corrupted mantles, defiled mantles. And God is crying in the spirit. So I don't know what happened, but the Lord said he's willing to begin a protocol of restoration.
Yes, so go on.
Don't say the exact word you told me. It's like, Lord, the Lord is looking out for men who bear those mantles. And then you said there are some consecration that you need to keep.
Stop. We cannot remove consecration from this matter. After this round of preaching that I went around Europe and I came back, I went to the Lord because everybody was saying, go and rest. So I just laid on the bed and I'm asking God, give me the new syllabus. Give me the new requirement. Because I saw an anointing I've never seen in my life. So I know God is doing something. So don't drop the anointing yet. Tell me the syllabus so that I will know the consecration that is required. Sorry, our people did not document some of the things that happened very well. It was strange. The anointing was strange. There were dimensions that were new to me. Except I don't pray in the name of Jesus. Because if I do, oh my God. So I say, wait, let's hold on with this anointing. What are the laws? What is the consecration that is required? I know you love God, sister. When He draws you in, you will give up so much. Most preachers don't tell people. You will give up so much that there is nothing left. There's nothing left. That's why if God doesn't say it's time for that man to go home, you can't kill him. Because he's not living for himself. So it doesn't matter the persecution that comes. You can't take him out. There is a price to pay. And I cry out from this place to all the sons of Africa. The Lord is calling every one of us to a higher dimension of consecration. I don't know how to say it louder. Oh, ye sons and daughters of Africa. He calls us to a higher dimension of consecration. Walk away from sin. Walk away from fornication. Walk away from iniquity. You can walk away because of the Spirit of grace. No man among us is strong in himself. And there's something more ancient than sin. It's called the Spirit of grace. It will be strong in the midst of sin. But the Bible says that where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Yes, sister?
Say, to hold on this mantle, you have to know the place of purity. You have to stand in holiness, not the place of righteousness. Speak truth when you are sent to. Say, don't stain your garment.
It is because of this insight that I started with the Spirit of grace. He said, many garments are stained. So we can no longer hold down His grace. You will see, if our repentance is genuine, you will see this night. Because what God intends to do this night, He has unlocked the pathways of 13 angels. This evening, and you will see a sign before we leave. Yeah? Finally.
Don't stain your garments and don't go when I've not sent you. If you can keep all of to this consecration, then I will hand over this mantle to you.
Somebody said, God's man in God's place doing God's work in God's way. And at God's time, we not lack God's support. God's man, in God's place, doing God's work, in God's way, and at God's time, we not lack God's support.
Visibility is a murderer if you enter into it before time. The demons will come for you. And you will not have the capacity to survive it. So it will destroy you. So the things that's it. What's your name? What? Those words you spoke are true. Go back to your seat. The people that took for counseling, are they back? So rise on your feet and raise your right hand. Those of you online, this is the moment. Anywhere you are, rise on your feet and raise your right hand. Will you come again? Emmanuel. And the church will see your holy faith. Emmanuel. When you come. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy faith. Emmanuel, when you come. Can you just be silent with your hand up? I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said that the seasons of blazing holiness have come upon the church in Nigeria. Your willingness to restore is also active now. I pray, Lord, even as it is obvious that you are beginning to entrust your sons and your daughters with costly ornaments of grace, costly things for the purpose of the extending of the frontiers of your kingdom. I pray tonight that you will have mercy on us. And if indeed your counsel has been spoken, show me a sign that you have restored the 13 pathways that strengthen the church in Nigeria before this time. Show me a sign that your mighty hand, oh my God, let your mighty hand descend upon 13 individuals. 13 individuals. As a sign. We await your sign, O great one, that your mighty hand might descend. Let your mighty hand descend. Let your mighty hand descend. Okay, it's coming stronger. The spirit of prophecy is upon one of you. Spirit of prophecy is upon one of you. Grace is coming. I'm seeing someone the Lord is removing a garment from your body. Removing a garment from your body. Because He wants to restore you. Ushers, help me find a lady. It's as if she's suffocating. She's choking. I can see her in my spirit. It's as if she's suffocating. I say, okay, my God. Emmanuel, when you come to me, Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to me. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, will you come again? Will you come again? Emmanuel, and the church will see your voice. Thank you, Father. Now listen to me. There's someone in this congregation, while I prayed that prayer, your spiritual eyes were open. And you saw the visions of God. Now, if you are not the one, don't respond. Put your hands down. Listen to me again. There's someone in this congregation, while I prayed that prayer, your eyes were open, you saw the visions of God. Now, the presence of God is here, and don't say you saw when you didn't see. Okay? Yeah? So, you come. Two of them. Find out. Well, go there. Go to Pastor Tony. The healing service will be for Sunday night. But these meetings, all the other sessions are for encounters. There are lost things that God will be bringing back. Okay? We'll just take this and then I'll run out of your way.
Praise the Lord.
Please, you may be seated. Just listen.
First of all,
yeah?
When you were talking, there was echoes. So I tried to look up to see if there was an echoing sound. There was not. He kept talking and he was like, you were going deeper, there were echoes. Then during the prayers, you will say a word. I hear it there, I hear it there, I hear it. He was hitting a whole lot of places at the same time. Then there was an anointing where it was from that. Hit that edge.
Okay.
Hit that edge, yeah. There was heat, and the voice was being backed up by that heat. That was the one. Then when we started praying, the roof busted open. There were pipes. There were like eight. When a plane has an emergency, there is this mask that dropped.
Mm.
So a whole lot of them started coming. And the word was, this is to give them ventilation. This is to give them support. That was what I saw.
Yes?
Hallelujah. So when you utter the word of prayers, I saw a sword. And the Lord opened my eyes and it was written a sword of justice.
The Lord is beginning to return to the church in Nigeria. The glory of the Lord has left us long time ago. Long time. The Lord increase your measure in the name of Jesus. The Lord increase your measure in the name of Jesus. He wants to return. That's what he told me. He wants to return to his house, to his people. And as I speak to you, I see three horns. There are three among us that will be given authority, special authority over devils. He wants to return. He's been shut out for many, many years. Mammon became our God. But he wants to return. There is an elaborate purging that he has been able to achieve because of the quickening of the spirit of prayer that came into his house suddenly. He wants to return. Ah. He wants to return. Will you allow him return into your vessel? Will you allow him become a strong tower from your vessel? I am a light. He wants to return. When he returns, people that are seen at home, they will not be able to come to church. Because of the blazing light, you will be discovered. Our visibility has been shallow because of the corporate sin. The prophetic has been reduced to a trick. That is an office that was hallowed, and it came with great fear because nobody could stand before a prophet whose mouth was not bought. Return, return, that we might look upon you. Oh my God. Oh my God. There are two people in this congregation. You used to receive angelic ministration. You used to see things. And all of that was shut down because of carelessness. And the Lord is restoring it. He's restoring it. It's 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 restoring it. Come in us. The spark that is in your spirit is about to be restored. The voice of God will be heard again from your lips. Something is happening in the land.
the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to me.
He's coming. Nobody can stop him. There is something he will do to Nigeria. He will, that one is not clear, but he will touch Nigeria. He will touch Nigeria. Because he has chosen that he will pass here. So he will touch Nigeria. He said, return, return, that we might look upon you. Return. Take your place in our midst. Become king amongst us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look upon us with mercy. And purge our garments. Purge our hearts. That we might offer unto you a sacrifice in righteousness. Before I run away, the hand of God will come upon someone in a strange way. You know what I'm hearing is that 7 layers will come upon that person. 7 layers. I don't know what that means. Father, can you show me a sign? Show me a sign. 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 His presence, it returns. We've been put to shame as a people in the land because His glory left. But He's coming back now. That's what He showed me. He's coming back. Now, ushers, you will help me look for someone. It's as if the person is choking. Help me look for that one. It's as if the person is choking. The spirit of prayer, of intercession that came upon the body, facilitated a purging. A purging. Yeah. That's the lady. The yoke will lift. The yoke will lift from her. It facilitated a purging in the body of Christ. And now there is a dimension of glory that God will allow to rest on His house. To come. Come, O Lord Jesus. Come in your splendor. Come in your glory. Come in your glory. In your glory, come. In your glory, come. In your glory, come. You've been outside for too long. Men have walked in iniquity, have walked in sin. People have masqueraded as though they were speaking for you. Come in your glory. Come in your splendor. Make a difference between such that serve you and such that serve you now.